This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight.
We have been experiencing this flooding situation in the country and been able to cause a lot of damage, loss of lives, even mudslides in certain parts of the country. In other areas, there have been destruction of infrastructure, destruction of farmlands in terms of livestock.
That's Kenyan government spokesman Cyrus Oguna on the widespread flooding in Kenya. Details coming up also. At least 58 people drowned after a boat from Gambia carrying around 150 migrants sank off the coast of Mauritania yesterday. And Cameroon has organized a national vaccination campaign to stop a measles outbreak. We'll have these stories and more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, more than 130 people have lost their lives over the past few weeks following heavy rains pounding most parts of East Africa. For the second week running, the downpour has triggered floods, landslides, and hampered transportation. Government officials say some 330,000 people have been affected. From Nairobi, Ruben Chama reports.
The heavy rains have cut off roads and left destruction in many parts of the country. In Nairobi, Kenya's capital, heavy storms and resulting flooding have also been devastating. Retired Colonel Cyrus Oguna is the Kenyan government spokesman.
We have been experiencing this flooding situation in the country and been able to cause a lot of damage, loss of lives, even mudslides in certain parts of the country. In other areas, there have been destruction of infrastructure, destruction of farmlands in terms of livestock. As government, we are deeply concerned about this and we wish to express our sympathies and condolences to those that have lost their loved ones and even those that have lost their properties.
On Wednesday, the United States Embassy in Nairobi said it is providing humanitarian assistance to vulnerable communities, including those affected by the heavy rains. Embassy officials said following the recent landslides in West Pokot County that partners of the United States Agency for International Development, the Red Cross, the Kenya Red Cross Society, and Action Against Hunger have distributed relief items and provided health and nutrition services. John Lonyangapuo is the governor of West Pokot County. Appearing on a morning breakfast television show early Thursday, he gave details about the situation on the ground.
Mother Nature just decided to give way. Human beings were really terribly affected. We are trying to resettle them now. Burial arrangements are going on for those who left us. And we are only telling Kenyans who are living in areas that are a bit dangerous with these heavy rains coming. But it is tough. But I want to thank Kenyans for standing with us.
The Kenya Red Cross Society says approximately 160,000 people have been affected by floods or landslides as a result of heavy rainfall across the country, including 18,000 people who have been displaced. Flash floods and overflowing rivers have affected at least 32 of the country's 47 counties. Officials have warned residents living in flood-prone areas to move to safer ground for fear that the situation may worsen. Oguna says the government is providing relief assistance to help restore livelihoods of all those affected.
As of now, the counties that are affected in totality or in total, the figure is 32. In coast, we have the Lamu, Kwale, Mombasa, Kilifi, Tana River, and Taita Taveta. Northeastern, Mandera, Wajir, Turkana, Garissa, Samburu. In eastern region, we have Isiolo, Marsabit, Makueni, Kitui, Machakos, Embu.
The worst hit counties are Wajir, Marsabit, Turkana, and Garissa in the northern region. Lamu, Kwale, Tana River, and Mombasa along the Kenyan coast, and West Pokot in the Rift Valley. Unusually heavy rains have hammered much of East Africa for the past 2 months. Ethiopia, South Sudan, Uganda, and Tanzania also have experienced deadly floods and mudslides. Weather forecasters expect the rain to continue until the end of December. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
Reuters reports that at least 58 people drowned after a boat from the Gambia carrying around 150 migrants sank off the coast of Mauritania yesterday. The International Organization for Migration, IOM, quoted survivors as saying the vessel, which set out a week ago bound for Spain's Canary Islands, began running out of fuel and sank off the coast near the Mauritanian city of Nouadhibou. The perilous sea passage from West Africa to the Canary Islands was once a major route for migrants seeking jobs and a better life in Europe. The latest incident was one of the deadliest since attempts became scarcer when Spain stepped up patrols in the mid-2000s. An IOM statement says at least 58 people are confirmed dead and 83 others swam to shore and are receiving assistance. Mauritania's Interior Ministry confirmed the accident and said passengers on the vessel included young women. IOM says that until this incident, 97 people were estimated to have died this year attempting the Atlantic migration route. Gambia's Truth, Reconciliation and Reparation Commission, TRRC, wraps up its first year in operation today. Human Rights Watch says the commission has so far uncovered evidence linking exiled Gambian leader Yahya Jammeh to the murder, rape and torture of political opponents. The commission now is probing Jammeh's witch-hunting exercise in which 39 suspected witches were killed and others left critically ill after being forced to drink poison. Panderambai reports from Raleigh, North Carolina.
It was in February of 2009 when former school headmaster Lamin Cisse learned about the arrest of his parents. His parents were in their 80s when they were abducted by German security agents and taken to a concentration camp in the Greater Banjul area. Cisse told Gambia's Truth, Reconciliation and Reparation Commissions that his parents later were transported to the Kombos region. Cisse left his home village, Esau, to search for them.
When I received that call from my father, there was no other option other than to go there to rescue them. Yes, they were abducted. They were forcefully taken out of the compound to the village Bantaba.
Cisse says security agents told him that Jammeh had ordered the arrest of suspected witches. When he demanded that his parents be freed, Cisse was taken into custody. He alleged that a former military officer ordered that he be tortured.
He ordered them to hold my hands and legs, so I was suspended. They hold my leg and my hand. So they started beating me with chains. Some used these 8mm rods, those pipes, some sticks. They were beating me all over my body. About 20 of them, 20 to 30 of them. So there are a lot of lacerations on my body.
Cisse was later released, but he said some of the detainees died because of the concoctions they were forced to drink.
Some of them developed sicknesses, lasting sicknesses, passed away. Some are still struggling.
Dr. Lamin Cisse is the chairperson for Truth, Reconciliation and Reparations Commission. He says the revelations during hearings in rural areas left him outraged.
It's a little bit frightening, Council, that this is the third of our regional public hearings. We have not yet come to the end of this third one, and so far what has been added to the toll of individuals who died them as a direct taking of the concoction. At the end of our hearings in Jambur, we had 18 died in Jambur.
Another witness said she also was forced to drink an unknown liquid. She said she suffered from stomach pain among health problems. Chairman Cisse again.
At the end of the hearings in Sibanor, with the death summer in Sintet, the number was 13. And here, on our first day, we hear that 8 people had died here as a result of taking the concoction. That brings the total to 39 dead. 39 Gambians, innocent people, given some outrageous concoction.
Cisse says the crimes attributed to Jammeh were unpardonable.
And this is only one of our three categories involved in this witch hunt episode. The toll is going to be given on those who are still suffering. And heaven knows how many people have been stigmatized, and for the rest of their lives, they are being branded, abandoned as witches. Totally unpardonable.
Jammeh lost an election in 2016. The African Union, an economic community of West African states, forced him to step down, and he went into exile in Equatorial Guinea. The United States has banned him and his family from entering the U.S. because he is suspected of gross human rights violations. For VOA Africa, this is Pan Derimbay reporting from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Cameroon has organized a national vaccination campaign to stop a measles outbreak that has infected more than 3,000 people, especially children, this year. The most affected area is the Central African state's northern border with Nigeria and Chad, where 17 children have died this month. Moki Edwin Kenzeka reports from Yaoundé that health officials believe many more people are infected, since barely 30% of the population visits conventional health facilities.
Pour cette campagne, il faudrait que les parents comprennent que ce ne sera pas du porte à porte.
This is the voice of Dr. Edzua Breeze, coordinator of the vaccination teams dispatched to towns and villages around Cameroon's capital city, Yaoundé. Edzua is on the streets of Yaoundé telling people that vaccination teams are stationed in all road junctions, churches, schools, markets, and popular spots, and will not be visiting homes as they have always done in the past. He says in the past, they did not meet many parents and children at home because they had gone to schools, farms, offices, or markets. Nurse Teresa Mabu, a member of the vaccination team from Cameroon's Public Health Ministry, says the vaccination campaign is aimed at saving millions of lives threatened by the measles outbreak.
It is efficient, it is simple, and it's free for all the children. So I'm calling all the parents, all the mothers to vaccinate their child. We also have this deworming of children from 1 year to 5 years. We have vitamin A that is given from 6 months to 5 years.
The Public Health Ministry reports that the northern regions, where more than 2,000 of this year's 3,000 reported cases have occurred, have higher birth rates and lower routine vaccination coverage, as barely 3 out of every 10 mothers visit conventional health facilities. They prefer African traditional medical practitioners who are more accessible and available than hospitals that are often very far away, understaffed, and lack medication. Fear and misinformation make some distrust vaccinations. Some parents either refuse or forget to have their children vaccinated when they are 9 months old, as recommended by the World Health Organization. 23-year-old mother of two, Loveline Tosam, says it was after she lost her 2-year-old baby shortly after she arrived at the Biamasi District Hospital in Yaoundé that the medical staff informed her that she had to vaccinate her children.
She was coughing, she was very weak, and she was vomiting ceaselessly. 24 hours afterward, we lost her, and it's now that I'm learning that we had to go for vaccination.
The World Health Organization lists vaccine hesitancy as one of the top threats to global health that have been leading to the resurfacing of measles in some countries. Dr. Fanuel Habimana, World Health Organization resident representative in Cameroon, says people should trust vaccines' ability to save lives.
Le vaccin qui est offert aux enfants est un vaccin sûr, efficace.
He says people should be informed that the vaccines given to their children are efficient and certified by the World Health Organization. He says he was also vaccinated when he was young, and is calling on community, religious, opinion and political leaders and everyone in authority to educate all parents so they will allow their children to be vaccinated. He says after the campaign, the knowledge of the need for routine vaccinations for newborns should be reinforced. Two injections of a vaccine can prevent measles, and the WHO says treatment is safe and effective and has been in use since the 1960s. Cameroon reported its last massive measles outbreak from February 2010 to July 2011, when 37 out of the 179 health districts in the country were affected. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé.
The World Health Organization says measles also has killed 5,000 people, mostly children, this year in the Democratic Republic of Congo. While all 26 provinces have been affected, particularly hard hit is North Kivu province, site of an Ebola outbreak. You're listening to African News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Twenty-one past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. In Kenya, more than 130 people have lost their lives over the past few weeks, following heavy rains pounding most parts of East Africa. And at least 58 people drowned after a boat from the Gambia carrying around 150 migrants sank off the coast of Mauritania yesterday. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni led a march against corruption yesterday, but critics were quick to dismiss the march as a publicity stunt. Uganda has one of the worst rankings in the world for corruption, with activists pointing fingers at the highest levels of government. Halima Tumani reports from Kampala.
Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni on Wednesday led hundreds of people in a march against corruption, calling corrupt people parasites who steal public wealth. Museveni said to end corruption, leaders must develop the economy.
Commercial agriculture, industry, services and jobs and ICT. Because that's how we can create jobs and wealth and income so that our people do not have a material basis for acute need, which forces them to be corrupt.
Critics note that last year, Transparency International ranked Uganda as one of the most corrupt countries in Africa, below Kenya, Mauritania, and Nigeria. Action Aid International Uganda says Museveni marching against corruption is ironic, as his government is to blame for much of it. Nixon Ogwal is the Director of Programs and Policy at Action Aid Uganda.
He is the chief law enforcement officer of Uganda. He's therefore the one whom the citizens are supposed to walk and show and demonstrate that they are angry about corruption. Now, to whom is he angry? So we really think that he's playing politics.
Critics accuse Uganda's Inspector General of only holding lower-level officials or private citizens to account for corruption. The inspector, Irene Mliagonja, acknowledged that some top government officials hide behind Museveni, but argues the president is sincere in tackling corruption.
You see, when he says, I am ready to fight, it means he's ready to give them up. So that if you start looking for them, and to be true to him, if you are investigating a person who is near him, he doesn't say stop investigating. He says, bring me the evidence.
But Uganda's Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Jacob Olanya, says he is not convinced that corruption is now at the top of Museveni's agenda.
Unless we take this from our own front lines and extend the frontier to cover other areas, it's a waste of time. It's a public show for nothing. I come because it's a public show. But deep down, I know we are going right back to practice the same damn corruption that we claim to fight.
Nonetheless, Uganda's lawmakers and judges Wednesday renewed public vows to be honest and not accept bribes. The anti-corruption events blocked all roads leading to central Kampala, forcing many skeptical passers-by to walk for over 6 kilometers to get to work. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
The largest concentration of black African churches outside of Africa can be found in South London. Each week, about 20,000 people attend one of the mostly Pentecostal churches. Martha van der Wolf has the story.
There's prayer, but also lots of singing and dancing at the majority black African churches in South London. The House of Praise is one of those churches where hundreds of people gather each Sunday. Precious Ogbomna is of Nigerian heritage and has been attending for more than 2 years. She likes that there's a connection to the African continent.
It gives you a slice of home. So your parents raise you up in a certain culture, and sometimes you can feel a bit alienated outside or somewhere else, and it just feels like home, really.
Many English churches seem to have a declining congregation, but the African churches in South London are growing in popularity due to the large diaspora community residing in this part of London. Public theology lecturer David Muir explains what makes the diaspora churches stand out.
First and foremost, the diversity of these churches. I mean, some churches have got 20 people, some have got maybe 6, but of course there are other churches with 600 plus. So the kind of diversity of those churches is one thing. The second thing is that most of these churches are actually keen to get involved in social action, and they tend to do that in terms of things like education and welfare. But I think what I found very interesting in the churches is the way in which they take mission seriously. A lot of these folks feel that God has actually sent them here to evangelize the local population.
The churches are quite active in the community. Besides Bible study, the House of Praise provides language classes. They also organize other activities such as soup kitchens to feed the homeless. At the House of Praise, like many other churches, more than 80% of the worshippers have African heritage. Assistant Pastor Benga Samuel sees a role for the church to better integrate the diaspora and indigenous community.
We're kind of the seed that was sown by those who brought the gospel earlier on, and we're kind of the fruits of those seeds. We're bringing it back and trying to bring Christ back into the center of everything that is done.
Many of the majority black churches do not own traditional church buildings. The House of Praise bought a former bingo hall to host its congregation. Others use schools or community centers. Perhaps the lack of space in London might in the future be the one thing that will integrate local and diaspora churches. Marta van der Wolf for VOA News, London.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the sunny side of sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of African News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Patrick Dea, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the Sunny Side of Sports, Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.